Hello, Joe, can you hear me?
I hear you.
I'm just going to plug in my mic, it's a bit better. Give me a wee second. Can you hear me now?
I hear you good.
Okay, so what I was planning on doing, Joe, was just I was going to record this conversation, and I've got a video camera just set up where I'm going to film with a green screen with myself. And
okay.
I'm just going to add some graphics to whatever it is we talk about, and then I'll mix it once we're finished.
Sounds good.
Okay. I was going to write down a list of questions, but as I started to go through stuff, I thought it'd be probably just best just having a chat and just see where it goes.
Sure. That usually works the best anyway.
Yeah, because I don't know what you're like, but I start talking about one thing and it takes me on a tangent and then, you know, it takes me miles away. So I just thought we'd just start. For people who are listening, they might not know who you are. So either I can give them a brief description of yourself, or if you want to introduce yourself, that's fine.
Okay. Are you ready to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. My name's Joe Jordan. I'm the president of CE4 Research Group. And the reason it's titled CE4 is it stands for Close Encounter, Fourth Kind. And for those of you in the understanding of the UFO realm and the phenomenon, Jack Vallée many years ago developed a categorizing system for close encounters. You got close encounter of the first kind, second kind, third kind, which we're all familiar with from the Steven Spielberg movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And then there's the fourth kind, which is the focus of my research, which is dealing with alien abduction. The fourth kind always focuses on the abduction experience. And I've been in this research for close to 20 years now. I started out in 1992 as a Mutual UFO Network field investigator and spent some time as a state section director for my county and the county north of me here in Florida in the United States, and then eventually moved into focusing the research on the abduction experience. And that's where my focus has been for the past 16, 17 years now. Mm-hmm. And I call it CE4 Research Group because I don't do this work alone. I've been head of the group, you know, for close to 15, 16 years now. But there's been people that come in and out that work with me and help in the research. And so I keep it as a group. Okay. It's not me specifically. The research, the purpose of the research is to share the findings of our research, and the findings is what I want people to trust the evidence that we bring forth and not focus on myself or any members of the group in particular. And I've been able to have the opportunity to speak around the United States in different conferences. I've done 8 presentations now at Roswell, New Mexico, during their Roswell July 4th UFO festival. They usually have conferences while the festival's going on. It's usually a 3-day event. And I've had the opportunity to speak there. And I was actually the director of the City of Roswell's 2008 UFO conference. And I had some fascinating speakers come in. It was a really neat opportunity to be able to actually put on the conference for the City of Roswell. And it gave us also in CE4 an opportunity to actually share the information that we had right out in the open with, you know, our peer group of fellow researchers in the UFO field.
I think that's the one that you can see on YouTube or something like that. I think there's one that was at Roswell. And is that the one you had people stand up at the end to give their testimonies for the people who wanted to ask questions?
Yes, and I usually do that at most of my talks. I try to bring the evidence, the true evidence, which is the people themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to, and I do this in the talks, if you've watched them. At the end, I usually stand and lean on the podium and say, don't trust me, don't trust Joe Jordan,
exactly.
Don't trust CE4, trust the evidence. Yeah. And then I bring the evidence up, which are the people whose lives have been changed from the experience. And I try to get people to question and talk to the evidence
mm-hmm.
because it's not me. I don't want to come up there like most researchers and say, here's some neat pictures to look at, here's some video I want you to look at, mm-hmm. and trust me, this is real. You know, I don't want you to trust me saying it's real. I want you to talk to the people, which are the true evidence.
Sure. This phenomena, the UFO phenomena, has it gotten more popular. I mean, the experiences are more people having these experiences now than, say, 20 or 30 years ago.
I believe in my research that I am seeing more activity than I did 15 years ago when I first got into this. And for those of you that that might not know who I am, I started out, like I said, as a secular, humanist, objective, open-minded UFO investigator. And I eventually ended up being able to look at this phenomenon and what was part of it and its connection to the New Age metaphysical movement, which you cannot go to a UFO conference and not see aspects of the New Age and UFO and metaphysics connected with this phenomenon. And I explored that for some time and actually became involved and a follower of that type of belief system. And eventually came out of that and was introduced to Christianity. And now I am able to see this phenomenon from another angle, which is from a Christian perspective. So I've had an opportunity to see this from three different perspectives over my time in this field. And that's real important because I didn't come to this as a Christian researcher saying, this is what the Bible says. No, I came to this with the evidence, and it happens to be what I find in biblical scripture backs up what I found in the research.
I think that that's a similar story to myself. I mean, I didn't believe in any of this stuff for a long time, and then I started to believe in sort of metaphysical New Age ideas. And then I just very, very recently, last few months, came to kind of realize there was some major errors, major problems in my kind of worldview that I'd created about, the alien presence. And so today, I think what you're right in saying we don't want people to take what you say or what I say and base their views on that, but we're really just wanting to get people to ask some serious questions about some of the things that they are maybe listening to or reading or whatever. And the New Age, it does tie in, it does sort of entangle itself with the UFO phenomena, certainly from what I've seen. And so even people who've maybe not had UFO experiences or maybe are not even that interested in the kind of alien perspective, it's the same thing applies to anyone that's perhaps reading books, New Age books that are channeled, or the person who's writing it is saying they have experiences with spiritual entities or even dead people or whatnot. It kind of for me, it's the same sort of thing that we're kind of dealing with.
You
And
know, you're making a very good point here, and I can back you up on that from the research that I have seen. First of all, because of the attention the media has given this and Hollywood has given this phenomenon, I think that in part helps promote this idea where people become open to the phenomenon and actually open themselves up to these experiences. And that's kind of why I believe it's increased over the past 15 years from when I first started. And before I forget here, the video you were talking about, actually all of my videos are on my website now at ce4research.com, and you can watch those for free right there. I don't charge anything for the videos anymore. I want them all to be free where people can understand what we're doing here and be able to share the information with other people. So they're all there on my website from all the different years that I've spoken. This connection you're making here is something that I think is very important because I've dealt with people that have come out of different areas of what you would call paranormal experience or occult activity or metaphysical or New Age beliefs. And you can have somebody that was involved in, let's say, Reiki healing, somebody that was involved with channeling, somebody that was involved with ghosts, somebody that was involved with any type of paranormal activity. But there always seems to be a common thread that runs through all of it. And that common thread is there's a higher spiritual being, and that higher entity or being that they're referring to is always the one that comes down to the ET. whether it be a physical ET or whether it be an interdimensional ET. They all seem to go back. That's the common thread between all of the different paranormal studies and you know, anything that's outside of the Bible. They all have that head that seems to be ET.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what brings all of this to be looked at and become so important.
Yeah. And they often bring with them their own ideas and interpretations of what's going on the planet. And oftentimes, most times, anything that I read, it was always putting in a dig at the Bible, and it was always having, at least having anti-biblical themes, if not coming straight out and saying, you know, we've misinterpreted this, we've misinterpreted that. And so it does bring with it a kind of teaching. So it's not just trying to make people aware of some other dimension. They actively want to teach. It's as if they're trying to say that they're the teachers and we're these children, and we need to kind of learn from these kind of higher spiritual beings, as you put it.
Very good point. And my partner, Guy Malone from Alien Resistance, actually does a talk on what you're talking about there. We do a 1-2 punch talk when we go to conferences mm-hmm. now. There's two parts of the evidence that proves who these entities really are. The part that I have is the ability for someone to claim the name and authority of Jesus Christ over these entities and the experience that they create. That shows you that this is not alien. Aliens would not respond to that name in that way. This has got to be a demonic nature for this entity that's perpetrating this experience, this false experience. The other part of the evidence, and this is something as Christians we're warned about in Scripture.
Sure.
And this is the part that Guy Malone brings. And it's the Scripture goes like this, where be aware of any angel or man that if they bring a new gospel, they will be damned. What we're dealing with here is an evangelization of a new gospel, a false gospel from these entities. They are evangelizing humanity with a lie. Mm-hmm. And that's what this purpose is about. And the experience itself is just part of what backs up their ability to be believed in and to be trusted so that they can share this message, which is always anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-God of a Bible that we believe in, anti-creation. Okay, it's all based on evolution. The only reason that these entities can exist in our minds and ideas anyway in the first place is because of the idea of old Earth, millions and millions and millions of years, and the universe being an old universe, which goes against what Genesis says and the Bible says. And that's the only way they can exist. So they're attacking Christianity at the foundation.
Page one.
Page one.
Yeah.
That's where the attack comes in. If they can attack, it's like a tree. If you're trying to chop down a tree, you can't chop a tree down and kill it by just cutting off a limb. You have to go to the base and chop it there. And that's what this enemy is doing. And that's where the attack is coming.
Well, it's very clever, because once they've got mankind to buy the first big lie, then they can, because people bought the first lie, everyone naturally tries to build a worldview and try and make sense of the world. And so if you've adopted that false belief system about how old the planet is, naturally you start to say, well, there must be life in other planets, and you know, they must have been evolved many, many millions of years before us, and you naturally kind of conclude in your mind that these things must be inevitable. So it becomes like it's inevitable that there must be life on other planets, and they must have visited us in the past.
And, very good, and that's how this is all based. And the sad thing is you know, you can take it back to where this warfare started, this really change in the warfare. We know that the enemy's been at war with believers in God since the beginning of time, but we've seen the escalation, you know, going back 100 years or so when the whole idea of Darwin and evolution first came out. It was a way that they were able to usurp God's power and God's authority through this idea. And it's an idea that still today, it's only a theory. And it's a tough theory for them to even hold up with, you know, the evolutionists. Yeah. You know, we have major scientists today that as become, being raised and studied in the secular realm, becoming the scientists that they are, dealing with evolution, archaeology, geology, astronomy, and all of that. But when they come to a relationship with Jesus Christ and their eyes are open to realize, oh my, what I've been shown and what I've studied all along has been not the truth. And these same people have gotten together in with an organization similar to, Creation Ministries International, where they have many scientists that now take their work and use it for showing the truth and showing the world where the fallacies are and the ideas of evolution, how they don't really hold up.
No, they don't.
And it's all based on, a misinterpretation of what really happened. And once that's the one idea that's accepted and taught in schools,
True.
especially here in America, the science class, that's what you study. They still say it's a theory, okay, and that a lot of people just accept it as fact, but you got to remember it's a theory of evolution. But it's the one that we are taught. It's the one that we are constantly drilled with year after year in school. And that is what makes the foundation for our worldview. And everything is acceptable through
True.
those eyes.
Because I remember when I was brought up a Catholic, and when I went to school, even though I heard the stories of Noah and the flood and the creation story, at the same time, it was as if we were to accept it just as a fable because everybody, the parents and everything else that I was being taught was about evolution. And so even though I was being brought up and told a little bit about the Bible, it was almost like they weren't coming out and saying it outright, but they were basically saying, well, it's got lots of faults in it. It's not real. It's not really, you can't really base your life on it. Until I grew up to realize once I started to study evolution a bit properly, it becomes very clear. I think any honest person anybody who looks at the evidence honestly, they will not be able to build a picture that supports evolution,
Sure.
and it's not possible.
And that the same thing you were being told as you were growing up, that you can't take it literal, and there's things that can't be trusted in it, they may have misinterpreted it or whatever. These are the same exact things that were being told from the people that are involved in New Age and metaphysics. Okay, they might even go as far as say that the morality, standard that's in that book are good enough to live a life by, but we don't accept it as being a word of God, a word of the creator of the universe. Okay, there's too many things that miss that contradict each other. But most of us accept what somebody tells us when they say that. We don't really look for those contradictions ourselves. And I used to be one of those people. I was converting people to the New Age. I was converting Christians to the New Age because they really didn't know what they believed. But when I actually came to the truth and the Lord opened my eyes to what this book was really about and how it was written, I went, oh my, this thing has no contradictions. It has a thread that runs from beginning to end. It's infallible and it's 100% accurate in prophetic, predictions that God gave the prophets through the Bible. And I look back on the fortune tellers and the tarot card people and the palm readers and all of that, you'd be lucky to get 25 or 30% accuracy out of them. And it's so general, it can fit anything that happened to you. But true prophecy in scripture is 100% fulfilled. And that's untouchable. And why would you want to follow anything that's less than 100%? That puzzles me to no end to this day, now that I've seen it.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, we have to put our faith in something, you know?
Yes.
And if you're going to put your faith in anything, you might as well put it in something that's shown itself to be reliable. And you certainly can't put it in these entities that are in the spiritual realm that are speaking through tons and tons of people and giving different mixed messages. That's not a reliable source because they're hidden behind a curtain. And they don't express who they really are. They can't. There's no way of ever really knowing if they really are from Andromeda or Pleiades or whatever they claim to be from. So I mean, why? When you come to put faith in something, I want to put it into something that's got the most reliability. As you said, the prophecies fulfilled, historically shown to be accurate. And also, I think there's a kind of common sense element to it as well. We know there's something wrong with the world. There has to be a cause and effect. There has to be a reason for it being that way. And I think, I guess some of the people that are listening to this, I know, won't believe in the Bible. I've tried to speak to other people about it, and I know that many people are reluctant, as I was, to even consider or contemplate for a second that the Bible could be true. But it really does when you really decide to just say, look, I'm just going to, I'm just going to look at it. I'm just going to look at the evidence. It becomes really compelling. I mean, it's like, for me personally, when I went to look at the Bible, I went to kind of prove it wrong, I didn't want it to be true, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
I didn't. I had too much riding on it, the life that I had, and so when I started to investigate it, and I was looking at all the major points like dinosaurs and all these things that I thought were going to show the Bible to be false, and they did the exact opposite. All they did was shine a light on all the deceptions that man had cloaked over this book, so that we couldn't see it. And so I recommend anyone to just to kind of choose whatever aspect you have a problem with and honestly go and research it and see where it takes you.
You brought up a good point, is trying to share the Bible with people who do not believe it to be real, especially people dealing in the New Age and the occult and metaphysics. We already know they don't accept it as being truth. So, and this is what I was, the predicament I was in when I first came to the truth as a believer, when I first came to as to be a believer in 1996 in November. And I came to realize the Lord showed me that what we were dealing with here was not what it appeared to be. And once I was able to understand that truth, I realized that as a Christian, I should not be involved in this realm. I should not be dealing in UFOs and aliens and abductions because I now know what it is. And so I tried to say, I'm done with this and I'm going to move on with my Christian life. But the Lord had other plans. The Lord says, you need to take this back to where you came from. And I said, I can't take the Bible back to where I came from. These people don't accept it to be what it is. I said, you need to give me something better than that. And being a new Christian, nobody told me you don't talk to God that way, but he answered. He says, you have something better. And I didn't realize what it was at the time, and my fellow researcher and I, in the beginning of CE4, went back and looked at some of the cases we had, seeing what was there, what were we missing, and it happened to be the one particular case that we had interviewed 6 months before, but never really caught what the person was saying because we didn't have the eyes and ears to hear at that time. It wasn't until we became a believer and our eyes and ears were opened and we were able to relook at this interview we did with him. And there was the evidence. And that was the first case that I was able to show, which nobody in anywhere, any researcher had publicly shown. And that was someone who had stopped an experience while it was happening by calling out in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. That was unheard of. And they still don't want to hear it. But, now, 15 years later, I've worked with over 400 cases where I can show that, and I have right at 100 of them posted on my website that you can read their testimonies showing that they're admitting to it, that they were able to do that, or actually radio shows where we interviewed them, and you can hear their own voice and hear them tell you their story. It's to bring the evidence forward, and this is what you can take back. This is something that I was able to take back to these people who believed in the extraterrestrial. And I say, I also believe this experience happens to people. I believe people are seeing things. Now, let me just show you something that I have found and ponder this. And that puts a seed of doubt in what they have already been taught, which is wrong. And it makes them start thinking, well, if that happens, then what does this really mean? And that's what I hope to do with the evidence, is to at least to get them to honestly look at what's happening. And the secular realm, the researchers in the secular realm, hate that I have this research to bring forward. They don't know how to answer for it. But I've had a couple that have actually said to me, and actually one of the best radio shows I did after my 2008 conference, when I really upset the UFO realm community, was Karen Dolan did a radio show with me, and she says, you really need a chance to have your honest say. People are really saying a lot of things about you and your research, but you've never had the opportunity to really have your voice heard and explain what it is. And she had me on her show, and that she didn't believe this stuff, but she knew that if one of these cases was real, just one, then that gave credence for this research to actually be looked at. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I have just one. I have hundreds, you know?
Yeah.
But at least she realized that, honestly, I had to have the opportunity to voice what I found. And I give her so much credence for that. To be able to step out there and go, you know what, I don't believe this, but you do have a right to say what you have shown, what you have researched, and what you have found.
Sure, I think people should just have the opportunity, as you said, to look at both sides. And I think when you're studying this, some of these, like when I studied the alien phenomena, I'd never heard anything about what you were talking about. And it was only once I came to Christianity and I started to try and make sense of these things that this this came up. And because that, when you're studying this sort of stuff, and there's a bit of it that I think people quite like studying the phenomena, because it's kind of dramatic, it's interesting, it's kind of like watching a film, you know, like a really good movie.
Sure. Just,
you know, some of it's very, it's appealing, it's like candy.
It's intriguing, yes. It's seductive is the word.
And so you don't really want to, there's a part of you something that doesn't really want to find out that you're being taken for a ride, because you're kind of maybe enjoying some of the what you're learning and the experience of opening your mind to other possibilities. So I certainly think that's a factor for why some people maybe don't look at both sides of the argument, because, you know, but in the back of your mind, you know, if you start to go down that avenue of believing that maybe, well, if the word of Jesus, you know, calling using Jesus's name to cast out demons, or in this case aliens, is true, then it must mean that maybe the Bible's true, and then it must mean that maybe I have to answer for some of the things that I do in my life.
Very good point. And that is the basis for all of this, is these entities that are posing as extraterrestrials or enlightened beings, part of their message is saying that we too can be like God.
Sure.
Okay, that's the same lie from the Bible. What they're offering is a form of spirituality. But the difference between what they offer and what God, creator of the universe, and Jesus Christ offer, mm-hmm. is with Christianity and the belief in God, you are accountable for what you do. Okay? We are called to be accountable for our actions.
Yep.
But in the New Age metaphysical spirituality sense, this is a spirituality without accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these entities offer. And that is more attractive than realizing you've got to be accountable for the things you do. You know, they throw morality out the window and they call it living life's experiences, you know, to understand. Yeah.
And a lot
understand.
Of people don't realize that, you know, Aleister Crowley's, you know, has the saying that he's remembered for is do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And that really sums up the kind of New Age philosophy. It's a kind of, and that was a satanic saying, you know, like,
yes.
Aleister Crowley was basically saying there is no rules, you know, just do whatever you want. That's, you know, that's the motto to live by. And so that's a kind of satanic teaching, but at the same time it's just recloaked and redesigned and brought forward in a New Age kind of way.
It's also the teaching of evolution.
Sure.
You know, it's survival of the fittest. That these animals don't live by moral laws. They live by the ability to survive.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it's going back to. That same thinking that Aleister Crowley brought forward. That's the animal kingdom. That's puts us right down to being nothing but animals like the rest on the planet that do not worry about and live their lives by any moral means. It's they live by survival, you know, and whatever it takes, you know, if you need to kill another animal, then that's what it takes for you to survive, you know, and that's giving free rein, you know, to the animal sense that evolution says that we are, but we aren't, you know, we're made in the image of God. We're not animals. we are given, you know,
dominion over the earth.
Dominion over the earth and the animals. Yeah. You know, yeah. we are not the animals, but evolution teaches that. And that's a sad thing, because if the lie of evolution is accepted as being a reality, then there is no hope.
I know,
and that's a horrible thing to recognize and live by, that you really have no hope.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I did want to mention actually was that Aleister Crowley, who had, you know, channeled some of these books, you know, on magic and whatnot, he himself said that the entities that he was dealing with were mischievous and devious, and that you couldn't trust them. So the guy who was, you know, channeling these books for the public consumption was basically in private saying, you know, I wouldn't believe anything they said. You know, which is kind of interesting, because I think Swedenborg, he also said the same thing. So people who have at least a kind of, to a certain degree, an honesty with which to evaluate the entities that they're actually dealing with, you know, they know very well that these are tricksters. No.
True, but they're seduced by the power.
They like the power, yeah.
Yes. That's the hook that gets them, you know, and that's what these entities use, you know. First, they get us to believe that we are hopeless animals, and, you know, there's no future, there's no supreme being, there's no, you know, there's nothing to come and save us, you know. So they turn around and they build you up, mm-hmm. with... you are chosen. We choose you for a special purpose. We choose you for a mission to save humanity with us. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a brainwashing technique that these entities are using. I mean, militaries around the world use this same type of brainwashing. First they beat you down, and then they turn around and build you up. Yeah. And the next thing you know, you're following the people that originally beat you up. And mm-hmm. that's called the Stockholm syndrome. You know, we found that people siding with their captors, and we see the same thing in this phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And that's just fascinating, you know, to me.
One of the things you said there was, you know, they start to tell us that we need to save ourselves. And the difference is with Christianity, we are saying that the work's been done by the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's already done the work.
Absolutely.
Well, the hope that we have is in him, and is to the restoration of the planet, or I don't know the full, but basically we're going to go back to a time like it was in Eden, when there was no sin and there's no pain and there's no, the world, you know, is going to be very different from what it is now. And whereas the hope that other people are telling us is the hope that we all change, that the humanity changes, and that we all somehow bring about a new age, and the planet's going to be changed for the better. But, you know, I don't see that. I don't see that ever being a possibility in a million years, you know. I don't ever see mankind being able to save themselves, you know. And
we are actually under another law of the universe, which is contrary to that teaching that they teach. Mm-hmm. We are actually under the law of entropy.
Yep.
The world is in decay. You know, and they kind of don't talk about that one. They don't want to bring that one up, you know, but we are, everything is in decay. The reason for all the illnesses and diseases and, you know, mm-hmm. all the, you know, what else, anything that's wrong with humanity is because down the line, we're not getting better. We're getting worse, mm-hmm. you know, because of all the cross, you know, interbreeding and everything with everybody. And it's, you can see this is not, we're not evolving, we're de-evolving.
Yep.
You know, we come be so specialized, you know, through genetics and that's the lie of evolution that I've learned, you know, from my fellow researcher, Gary Bates. You know, he wrote a fantastic book, Alien Intrusion, UFOs and the Evolution Connection. And something I learned a lot from him, but one of the things I learned in there, you know, was evolution, they don't show a gain in information. Mm-hmm. When they show something that they're claiming evolved to something else, it's always a loss of information.
Yeah.
But yet they call it evolving. It's not. It's become less than what it was before. because information's been taken away so it can become specialized. You know, they're just confusing the whole language. You know, that's natural selection. You know, things change to fit the environment, but that doesn't make it better. You know, it needed to become specialized where it can no longer actually be what it was before. That's not evolution.
Plus, we've got much fewer species now than what there was in the past.
Sure.
So, I mean, if we're evolving and we're becoming more diverse and we're getting more and more and more species, we'd expect that to be the opposite. But what we find in the fossil records is there's tons and tons of species that no longer exist that were kind of wiped out seemingly quite quickly.
Yes, absolutely. You know, another great thing I learned from Gary and his ministry was something that he referred to in his book, and actually the first time I got to hear him speak when I had him here in Florida on his first tour from Australia, was he used the term the awe factor. And that just amazed me on how this is all put together, because in this realm, you get people that bring the question up, and I know you've heard this. You start talking about, you know, how the UFO and aliens can't be really extraterrestrials. And the first thing they come back at you with is, this universe is so big and so vast, there's got to be something else out there. And that's an absolute illogical thing to say. I didn't understand how to address that and then understand why that's the one thing that comes out of their mouth first, because it's actually apples and oranges, because we're talking about what seems to be visiting the Earth today and interrupting people's lives. We're not talking about what's out there. Okay. But since they bring the subject up, we can realize that that's an attack on Scripture also. Mm-hmm. The idea that it must be the only way you can even think that way is because you believe in a long period, billions of years, that it's possible for people to evolve out there, back to evolution again. But the one thing that I believe this whole thing is about is to demean us as children of God. And I'll give you an example of that. And this is what Gary was able to teach me, and I think it's just fascinating once you comprehend it, is in Scripture, what does it tell you that the stars and the planets and all of that stuff was for?
Declare God's glory?
Yes, and for signs and seasons. But that declare God's glory is very important. In other words, what he's telling you is, I made all of this for Ed.
Yeah.
And for me. Mm-hmm. And for any other person who believes. That all of this I made for you. I loved you, and this is for you to see the awe of what I've done for you. This is the awe factor, because you become in awe of this personal God when you realize that he did all of that for you. Now, the next question people are going to ask, why did he make it so big? Because I can't see all the way out there. Well, this is a fascinating little story I'm going to tell you. I work at the Kennedy Space Center, okay?
Yep.
One of the benefits we had last year was they had a new movie come out that was playing at the IMAX, big, huge IMAX screen theater, and it was in 3D at the visitor center at the Kennedy Space Center. And they let us go over as employees that work there and view the movie when it first came out. It was a 45-minute movie in IMAX 3D, and it was just awesome. And it was called Hubble 3D.
Right.
And it was all about putting the Hubble telescope in space. And the first two-thirds of the movie was showing what NASA went through to get it up on the shuttle and to launch it, and then to have to go back and repair it because it was blurry. And then at the end of the movie, it takes you out on what Hubble can see, as far as it can see, and you end up going on a 3D trip through the universe out there as far as Hubble can see. And then it hit me, and the hair just stood up on my arms when I got to the end of this movie. Now I understand why it's so big. And you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Because God in his foreknowledge knew that we would get to the point that we could see out that far, and maybe farther yet. And he had to make it big enough for us to realize there's no end to his glory.
That makes sense.
And that was just so simple. I thought, now I know why it's so big. It has to be. Because we were trying to be bigger than it by building that scope to look out that far. There must be an end to it. We're going to find it. No, he's bigger than that. There is no end.
The other thing that just when we're talking about this, you know, the universe and space, you know, a lot of people talk about astrology and the stars having an effect on your life and all that sort of stuff. But the original kind of constellations, and there were the different languages that people have across the world, they still have the same meanings for the constellations and the stars within the constellations, and that they actually tell a story, you know, starting with Virgo, the Virgin, and ending with the Lion, the Lamb. And the whole, if you actually, I've only just looked at this the last few days, but it actually is a story, and it's declaring, you know, God's plan. And it's
from beginning, from the beginning, beginning to end. I know, it's fascinating. I came across that years ago, and you see remnants of it in Revelation, where it's talking about, you know, the timeline, and it gives a description of the constellation Virgo, you know, which is representing the birth of Christ, you know, and it talks about, you know, the serpent and the dragon. You know, all these are the original constellations and the names that they had, you know, from the beginning of time that God gave the Israelites. And they've been perverted over time for other uses. But the original story, you're right, was the glory was there. He was giving the whole timeline from beginning to end. And this is something I came across when I first became a believer, that we started looking in. My partner that that helped me form CE4, he actually put together a talk that he did. We did it around Christmas time, and it was a fascinating talk, and people were so surprised. And he titled it, and we did it in the public library and had close to 150 people there, pack them in for this talk. And he did this presentation using slides and everything. And he titled the talk was "The Star of Bethlehem, a UFO." So we ended up with all of these New Age people in there believing that this was absolutely what they were getting ready to be shown. And he took them through the whole procession. We used a computer program from the local planetarium that they gave us to take back and look at exactly what they were seeing, the Magi were seeing, and people at that time were seeing in that part of the world for you know, conjunctions in the sky. And it was amazing to see it happen, because computers now can take you back to a specific day and time, a night or day, whatever, and pick your place on the planet, and they can show you exactly what the stars and constellations and planets were all doing. And he took it and showed it day by day by day by day by day, showing when Christ was born. And it was amazing. And it's all was a conjunction of powerful signs showing that he was coming, and they were all put in place at the beginning of time, but they all came to those positions at the time of his appointed birth. And that is awesome to think about. And what was funny is we get to the end of the talk, and he says, I'll take some questions now. And first guy, he raises his hand. He says, "Where was the UFO?" And my partner says, "Exactly, there wasn't one." And they were disappointed, you know. Well, but it was amazing to see that. I mean, this timeline of constellations and movements of the planets for signs and seasons. And we were to learn by them and see by them and things to come. And the prophecies told you exactly what was going to happen, and they did.
So people weren't, before the Bible, you know, was in existence, you know, obviously people didn't have that, but they had declared in the stars the story. So people weren't left without recourse to knowing who God was and what he was all about. So it wasn't like they had to wait till Moses came along and whatnot before they had some idea of what was going on. This stuff was there from the beginning. And I think God knew that we were going to get to this point where we would need more than that. You know, through all the deceptions and whatnot, we would need more than just what was written in the stars, and therefore we were given the gospel.
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you a story. Actually, I was similar to what you just told there. I went to a talk once which was advertised about UFOs, and this was before I was a Christian. And I went, all right, I'll go along to that. And I went along, and the whole talk was all about, I don't know if you've heard of this, it was called Benjamin Krem, Share International.
Yes.
And it was like the whole talk was about this guy and the coming of this
Maitreya.
Maitreya, yeah. And that was the whole thing. And then at the end of it, he kind of threw in something about some UFOs and how it kind of coincided with what this guy was talking about, this Benjamin Krem, who was apparently a spokesperson for the Maitreya, which was to be kind of manifest some point in the future when there was going to be, it was basically describing a one world kind of government with Maitreya at the head. And it was very much like, he was this sort of spiritual being that had inhabited Jesus and the Buddha and all these other people. And I didn't believe any of this, but it was interesting that they had been using the UFO phenomena to try and pull in people to kind of bring them into this idea and this
Yep, and
teaching.
that backs up what we talked about earlier, that it doesn't matter what part of the occult or paranormal or whatever you come from outside of God, whatever belief thing you're into, there's still that connection of the UFO and ET. You know, that's the common thread. That is the emperor's new clothes. And you know, that's the deception that the enemy is wearing at this time in history. That's the one that people seem to be the most gullible for. They're looking for a savior. People really are, for all the troubles that they deal with every day in life. And they, you know, all we hear is doom and gloom, and they're looking for that savior. And this entity is appearing as a high spiritual entity with, you know, higher wisdom, higher knowledge, and been around a lot longer, and you know, offering hope for humanity. But it's a false hope. But it's
And
one that people seem to grasp, you
yeah,
know.
in the Bible it talks about when Jesus in Revelation is asked about the signs of the end times, and one of the first things he mentions is about the great deceptions that will be in existence, and that people will be led astray, and even people in the faith will be lose their faith through the doctrines of devils and whatnot. And it seems to me that I think the UFO, the alien phenomena, has got a bigger part to play as yet. And I think it's kind of, it's getting bigger and more popular, but I wonder if it's going to play a bigger role in the end times, And I get the feeling that it might be. I think when I look at it and I see them building up and building it up and all the films that are coming out, I feel as if they're kind of programming people to get ready for perhaps something that might happen in the future, and it might be
Yes.
a grand, a really big deception that most people can't comprehend right now.
Either, and it can go a number of ways. I'm not going to put a, you know, a fix on any particular one, but what I'm seeing as an investigator and being involved with MUFON, the biggest push over the past, you know, 10 years has been, you know, disclosure. You know, they're pushing for disclosure of information. And a lot of countries have released and opened their files of, you know, UFO incidents that they've had that the governments have worked with over the years. And one of the last ones yet that still has not released anything is the US. And the US, you know, is going to be respected for what they say if they release something. And that's where I believe the danger is coming in, because they're going to, if they disclose that we have been in contact with something, or we have that the extraterrestrial phenomenon is real, if they come out and sit and say it, they will not have evidence of it. They're going to say, this is what we've come across, this is what we've been seeing, this is what it is, but they're not going to have evidence for it. They're going to have you believing that what they are saying is the truth. And that deception right there is going to cause trouble, because people are going to try and figure out, especially people of religion, are going to say, well, how does this fit with what my Bible says? They're not going to understand. And I think that's going to be a major problem, because the church today is not knowledgeable on this subject for what it really is. There are a lot of people that are Christians that do watch sci-fi, they do watch these shows, and they question, just like You did when you became a new believer, and I did. Okay, I believed in aliens. Now I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. So how do I make the two work? How do I make them fit together? And then we find out they don't. But a lot of people haven't found out they don't. And that's the problem we're going to have. And that's the mission of CE4 Research Group, is to try and take this evidence, the only evidence in the world today that shows who these entities really are. And we want to get this information out to the Christian church so that they understand when this so-called disclosure happens, that they will understand that this is a lie.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's coming from the President of the United States. He better have the evidence to prove it, because I have evidence and CE4 Research Group has evidence and hundreds of testimonies. And my question is, how many testimonies is it going to take to show you that this is a deception?
Well,
they can't be trusted.
The problem that you've got, or that we have, is that, for example, if we take evolution as an example, they brought forward lots of missing links that were fake, yeah?
Sure.
The Piltdown Man and all these other ones. But people didn't realize they were fake till many, many years had passed, because, you know, the technology is a wee bit more advanced now.
Sure.
So they can kind of mess about with things a little bit, and they can create things that maybe look to us like foreign or from another planet or whatever. So they could do that, and that deception might hold for a period of time until people get a chance to actually look at it closer. So
exactly,
they may bring forward something that will be regarded as evidence, but whether or not it is a different story.
And that's why I continue to keep pushing this and pushing this and pushing this and to try and bring more and more testimonies. You know, if anybody has a testimony like what we have, that they've had these encounters and they've been able to halt these encounters or terminate them from happening again through the name and authority of Jesus Christ and their relationship with Jesus Christ, then we want to hear them. We want to be able to post these testimonies. We want it to make it so hard for them to say, well, you only got a case or two. No, we've got hundreds, you know, and my question again is, how many is it going to take for you to see that there's a problem here? And that's what we're trying to do with this. And we know that it's this evidence that's of lives, people's lives changed through the name and authority of Jesus Christ and overcoming this experience that's going to, you know, show the church what this is. And we want to constantly keep pushing this out there and pushing it out there. And shows like this, where you've taken an opportunity to share this with other people, that's huge. Because every time we do one of these, that's a little bit more people that can share it, a little bit more people that can share it with others. And everything on our website, we freely offer out there. I've got a disclaimer on my website that says, you don't have to contact us to use our stuff. It was freely given to us to share with the world. We freely give it back for you to share with the world. You know, don't reinvent the wheel. Take what we have and use it. Because this is a huge deception on humanity, and this is the only way it's going to be able to be, you know, dealt with. That's why we posted all the videos up there for free. You know, I don't care to market anything. I just want to get the truth out there. It was truly freely given to me, and I must truly freely give it back.
Great.
You know, I've been blessed in other ways. The Lord's blessed me with a great job and a great place to work, and, you know, I say thank you every day on the way out to work. And even when I'm at work, sometimes I go, oh my, this is just so awesome. You know, thank you for this. And that keeps me going to be able to do the work that I'm doing here.
Well, I mean, I do appreciate it, Joe, for what you've done, because it's just little videos that are just out there. And sometimes when you're looking for an answer and, you know, it's a little thing that you come across, a little website here or there, and someone's got what you need to hear, you know. And I think that's what we're doing today. I just hope that if one person even just hears this and it has an effect, then, you know, we've achieved something with our time.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
Absolutely.
I did want to go to the scriptures a little bit just to say what these people are able to do by, I don't know if this is the right word, but aborting these experiences with these entities that are claiming to be aliens by calling on the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, we are told in the Bible that these things are possible, and one quote that's jumped out to me was Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. So we are told that calling on the name of Jesus can have an effect, so it shouldn't surprise us then that it does.
Sure. And a lot of people don't understand, even some Christians, on how does that authority happen? How are we able to do that? Mm-hmm. And it's actually pretty simple. The gospel message tells you that. You know, Jesus, when he was on the earth and doing his ministry, you know, he says that, you know, all power in heaven and earth was given to him, mm-hmm. above the earth, below the earth, and on the earth, over these entities, you know, that was the ultimate name. And interesting is God passed that to Jesus, and that's why he was able to cast out these demons and heal the sick and heal and raise the dead. That's where this power came from, was from God. And then when he was going, before he went, you know, before he was went to heaven, was taken up to heaven to the right hand of God, he told the apostles, he says, go to Jerusalem and wait, because I send you the Comforter. And then we know on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit manifested in the apostles there, and they were able to show that. And that's the Comforter, is the Holy Spirit. And what they're showing there is that we as believers, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God are all an aspect of the Creator God. And that power was passed from God to Jesus to the Holy Spirit, which now indwells in us. So that's how we are able to call on that name and authority. And it's not our authority, you know. In other words, like when you rebuke these entities, you know, it's I rebuke you. You don't say that, you know, Christ Jesus rebuke you, you know, because it's the power through him that was given to us. And Christ knows our relationship with him. He knows his sheep. This is how this works. People have been able to either call out in fear, call out in authority, or sometimes only use a prayer, quote a prayer, or sing a gospel song or whatever. And it's not any of those in particular that overpowers these entities. Mm-hmm. It's through that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to stress here, is this is not used as a magic word.
Yeah.
He knows his sheep. He knows who truly believes him to be Lord. And he will be there for us. And that's where the authority comes in, is when you've made him Lord and Master of your life, that authority is passed to where we can overcome these entities, just like that scripture says. We can cast out these devils.
This is a wee bit disconnected, but it reminds me of when you're using the word, and you were saying it's not the word that counts, it's kind of what your relationship with Jesus. And in the kind of occult and new age, they use special words and special things as well. And oftentimes they might believe that it's them, you know, the power of them that's creating something, you know,
sure.
Making something happen, making something move, making, you know, a spell or something. They believe that it's their ability that's causing it to happen. And what I think this is saying is it's not actually, there's nothing special about the words, it's their intent.
And
it's not them that's doing it. It's, you've either got God working on your side, or you've got the opposite. You know, you've got the Satan and his servants, Satan and his whatever you want to call them. I don't know if you call it fallen angels or whatever. But it's them that's either doing the work. So
You know, that is a very good observation, and I've never made that connection. But you're right. This is the counterfeit. Mm-hmm. It's not the power that is in us that does the things for Christ. It's the power of him in us that we are able to do these things. And it's the counterfeit on the enemy side. So these people, you know, you've got a really good point here. It's not that they really have a psychic ability or a paranormal ability. Mm-hmm. It's the enemy doing the ability. It's their believing in that enemy that makes it appear that they have the power.
Yeah.
And that's the seduction. This is a fascinating, fascinating look at this.
It's something that kind of bothered me, because when I was, when I was in kind of messing about with the new age stuff, I never felt I was very good at it, because I couldn't ever do the meditations, or I couldn't visualize as good, and I used to always think, man, it must be like maybe there's a part of me that's not working properly, and because all these other people seem to be able to make things happen or experience things, with their pineal gland or whatever it was, but now that I come to look at some of this sort of stuff, it's made me reevaluate that and think, I don't, I think that there's things that that you can't see that are working behind the
Sure,
scenes.
sure.
And so when someone casts a spell on someone or whatever, a demon might go away and perform whatever it was they intended to happen. And but interestingly, in this, from what I've researched from ex-Satanists and stuff, when they try to do that on a Christian, about a Bible, a true Christian, it doesn't have an effect, and it can actually have the opposite effect, where
Yes.
it kind of backfires on them. So it seems to be, yeah, they might be able to affect someone else who also hasn't, given their life to God, and is, you can only have, you can't have two masters, you can only have one master. So if you don't have God as your master, then as a default, Satan is essentially your master. And even if you're not aware of it or conscious of it, that has an effect, because these people that are involved in these other things are able to call on the name of these entities to do something for them. But if it's a Christian, it seems to kind of bounce back, and
Sure.
it doesn't have the power.
It's like when you have a program on your computer and you switch to a different program, it always asks you, do you want to default to the original program? And when you become a believer, you have that protection through the name and authority of Jesus Christ. But if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ and giving your life to Him, then you automatically default to the enemy. And you may not even realize that.
I think we've touched on another important thing here, is that when you're saying giving your life to Jesus Christ, it really does mean that, and well, that's what I'm kind of learning from it. Because a lot of people, I think, in my experience, some people, they believe that they're Christian because maybe once a long time ago they declared that Jesus was their savior. But then if they kind of live a life and they completely, disregard that, and they don't really believe it, and they go out and do whatever, the protection doesn't seem to be as certainly as strong.
Right. And
It doesn't.
a lot of people don't understand that, and that's very important that you do understand. And this is one thing that in Scripture, Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So a lot of times I've heard Christians say, I just don't feel he's there. Well, what they don't realize is he's not there because of something you're not allowing him to be there. Because he's always there. He says, I will always be there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when we don't feel him and we don't feel his presence, it's something that we've done to make that feel that way, not
Sure.
him.
No, I agree with that. And I've not got anywhere. I'm going. I've kind of lost my track now that I've started speaking about that. What else were we going to say? So we've kind of covered the fact. Maybe we talk a little bit some of the experiences, because we haven't actually really went into any of them. Is there any that you would recommend people listening to if they were wanting to check this out? Any particular story or testimony that's you think kind of sums up or is a good representation of the work that you do?
Well, I've got a couple really good interviews on radio shows. I try to do them like this. I mean, I'd love to be able to archive this show on my site too once you have it finished.
Sure, I'll send it straight away.
And there's a couple on there. You'll see I did one with Mary Porter. And she has a fascinating story coming out of the New Age and the occult. And it's a fascinating story of victory. Even though she's been through some horrific things, there's a victory in the story of her being able to come out of it. And another one is a show that I've done with Joyce Ahrens. If you get a chance to watch my videos that are on my website from the talks that I've done, I try to have Joyce as one of my major testimonies come forward at the end of my talks. She has a fascinating story, and it's not just her story, it's her entire
Right,
family.
I have heard this one.
And I think she is one of the most powerful ones that the Lord was able to bring to me, and it answers a lot of questions that people will have, because a lot of it fits in experiences that happened with her family. It destroyed her family relationships with everybody in the family over time because of coming to this idea that they had been through this experience. But the Lord was able to bring her to Florida from Missouri, and I was able to meet her. And actually, she gave her life to Christ in my living room, and I had her attending my church and built her up as a believer. And the Lord sent her back home. And she didn't go back home to be preachy, to the rest of the family, but they saw the change in her. And her husband came to the truth and gave his life to Christ, and actually had an experience to where he was able to cast these entities away from the experience. So he ended up becoming a testimony himself before he passed away last spring. And her son also came to the truth, and I had the opportunity to baptize him in Roswell last year. And a powerful story how a family that was so destroyed by this experience has been able to bring it back to being able to testify in the name and authority of Jesus Christ over these entities. There's still one member of the family left that is still really walking the fence, and she's wobbling on that fence. She hasn't come to the truth yet. I've had an opportunity to share the whole thing with her, and she's just not there yet, but we pray for her. And I do believe that, when the Lord brought Joyce to me and her story and her testimony, I told Joyce, I said, this is not just about you and your testimony. I said, this is a story of victory for your whole family, and it will happen. And I know that the Lord is going to bring the daughter, around someday. I have that faith, and Joyce does too, and so does her brother. And, because she's watched them all and how their lives have changed for the good. So that's a powerful story. And I'm working on a new, there's a new book being put together right now, and it's going to have a lot of her story in it. And it's going to be very good. It's going to cover Mary also, and it's going to get into a lot of the things that we're talking about here on this show that need to go into, even deeper, so that people understand how these people become involved in the first place, how it affects them, and then how their lives can be brought back to the life that they should be having through Jesus Christ. It's going to be a lot of people think this stuff is scary, but I try to teach that this is a message of hope, because there are estimates in the polls that have been done over the decade of research into this. They think that close to anywhere from 3 to 5 million people just in the US alone can say that they have had this type of experience and their lives have been changed by it. This is an experience that makes you different, it makes your worldview change. And that's what the enemy's trying to do. And there's no hope for them. They don't understand it. Nobody's accepting it. And this is a mission field. If you're a Christian and you understand that 3 to 5 million people are having their lives and relationships destroyed by this experience, this is a mission field. And this is a mission field that I can't handle alone. And the handful of us that deal with this can't handle it alone. We need the help of the church, which consists of hundreds of millions of people, to be able to understand what this is and to be able to help these people. If they're into helping people, this is a mission field that is untouched. This is a mission field that most don't even realize exists. And I hope through a show like this that your listeners will be able to understand this is real. And I say to people that are in the church that have no clue and don't really accept any of this as being real, I said, it's not a matter of whether you believe it's real or not. What you need to understand is these people believe it's real. And they need help. It's not about you, it's about them. Okay? And that's where I try to bring this message, is help us help these people.
And Their testimony is it is a kind of light in the tunnel for people that are they're trying to study this stuff because it's the only. I was a big reader of David Icke, and I don't know if you've ever heard David Icke. I don't know how if he's famous in America or not.
Sure.
And lots of people, they come into this field because they're interested in the truth. You know, they want to know what's going on. And when they start kind of finding out about this sort of stuff, they start reading all the books. And David Icke was one of the ones that I read. And you know, that's what got me into all this sort of looking at the UFO phenomena. And it's I didn't have access to all these testimonies that you have on your website. And if I had, I'm pretty sure if I had seen these earlier on, the question in my mind would have, you know, they would have planted a seed in my mind of doubt about some of the other things I was hearing. And so these testimonies are really important for people today that are coming in because it's going to transform people's lives. I mean, these people have obviously suffered and hopefully, you know, they're on the road to recovery and these sort of things can be out of their lives. You know, they don't have to put up with the experiences anymore. But it's great that they've come forward and their testimonies can be seen by people who are, you know, genuinely trying to seek the truth. And I think the more and more people that are interested in the UFO phenomena, this will convert them and they'll want to share this truth as well. Because I
Sure.
think once you realize something that's helped you and you realize how powerful it is, you know, in terms of transformation, of helping you see more clearly, you know, it's natural for you to want to share it. And that's kind of why I'm doing this, because I'm trying to pick the things that I found to be, you know, important and also I felt that weren't really being shared, you know, because I mean this site, I mean it doesn't come up much in your studies, you know, if you're studying the phenomena, you're very rarely going to come across it. And I mean I'm going to post this on my Facebook and I've and all that, and most of the people on there are all New Age and UFO kind of people because that's what I was into.
Sure.
And I've already started posting stuff and the you know the reaction isn't terribly good because you know people generally believe that I've been deceived now, you know,
Sure.
because
But
they,
you have an avenue to show them evidence.
yeah.
It, you know, I've done this work so that you can have the evidence to share with them. You know, like I said, this is not about me and what I do. It's about the testimonies.
Yeah.
It's about the evidence of the testimonies. And I give that to anybody that wants to share those, you know, because they're there. That's what they're for. And hopefully even more will come out by the people you share them to, you know. And we can just keep adding it and keep adding it and keep adding it. You know, when I talk to the church, something that I have to be very careful about is when you're talking to a conservative church that, you know, is doesn't want to accept this whole stuff to begin with, and you got to get their attention first. You got first 2 minutes to tell them why they need to hear what you're about to spend an hour saying. And if you don't cover that, if you don't get them hooked in that first 2 minutes, they're going to drown you out, and they're going to either or they're going to go, "This is nuts, I'm leaving." You've got to make this understandable in the first couple minutes on why they need to hear this. And it's part of it is that there is that mission field, that there are people hurting from all of this. But another part that they need to understand is how did these people get there in the first place? And that's what's important to show also, because the way that these people got involved in the first place that ended up having these experiences is the same potential as there for their children and their grandchildren because of the exposure from Hollywood, the exposure from TV, the exposure from these other secular researchers, and the exposure in school and the internet that they're being bombarded with. Because the way these people, what we found in 15 years of research with all of these cases is a question that the secular realm is still asking. Why does this happen to certain people? What makes these people have this experience and not others? They still ask that question. We found three answers to that question. The first one is there are people, and I've been at UFO conferences where I've worked a table and had my stuff there, and people see abduction stuff. They don't look at the whole thing. They come up to me and they go, oh, abductions. I'd sure like to have that experience so I can understand what it's about.
Yeah.
Be careful what you ask for.
Sure.
That's openly asking for the experience.
Yep.
The second one is that we found the reason for people have this experience is they unknowingly open doors that allows this enemy to deceive them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing something that is outside of God's will. That is an open door. It's you opening the door for the enemy to affect you in your life.
Yeah.
The third one that puzzled us, and this is the one I think that is most important for these people in the church to hear that I'm speaking to, goes back to why I said it, that their kids can be affected by it. The third reason that we found out was, and it puzzled us in the beginning, but I had people coming to me that were as adults and said, I can remember having this experience as a child. Yeah. And I said, what do you mean a child? You know, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old? I said, no, no, all the way back to 5 years old or even earlier. I remember these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those children were too innocent in the eyes of God to be able to openly ask for the experience or even unknowingly ask for the experience. Why was it happening to them? And then the answer, we started doing the research and investigating. Tell us what your family life was like. Tell us what your parents were like. What were your parents into? What did they do? What did they study? What did they follow? And we always found that the open door was with the parents. And this goes back to what Scripture tells us about raising up a child properly. And the head of the household having the spiritual covering over the family. That's very important as a believer that you have that covering over your family and how you raise these kids and what to be the truth. Because if you're not giving them that spiritual covering that you're responsible for as the parent, then you're leaving these kids vulnerable to the enemy and to the lies that are being taught, the lies that they're hearing in school, in the internet, in movies, in TV, and all of that. They have nothing to judge truth by. So that becomes an open door for these children of curiosity and the enemy to start bringing them up in the lie. So that's important that they understand that. That's why they need to listen to what I'm about to tell them. That's why they need to understand what this is about. Because not only is there a mission field of people hurting and need help by the church and need to be brought to truth, and healed, but we want to be able to stop the next generation from becoming involved with it.
And in the same way, you also have people who claim to have psychic abilities, and also that being a generational thing. You see, my mum did it, and my granddad could do it, and you start to see, and brothers and sisters have got the same sort of similar abilities. So you start to see that in the same sort of way. So it's not more, it can look like a genetic trait to somebody if they look at it one way, but it does.
It's just a social trait.
Social trait, yeah.
Yes, it's what you grew up with. It's what you accepted. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, mom was able to foretell the future, and you know, you were taught that that was okay. And that's how those doors get opened.
I mean, when I studied the kind of conspiracy stuff, there's a lot of talk about, you know, certain families, you know, that had a certain degree of power in the world. And you probably come across this idea, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and these sort of families that interbreed and whatnot. And it makes you wonder if part of that, again, is the same sort of thing, where it's a generational thing where they have, you know, they've given their life over to a different force, not God. And as a result of that, their children and all the people in their family are more susceptible to being brought into this system.
Yes, only because that's the way they've been raised.
Because they've been raised, yeah.
Yep, and that's what we are starting to find. And that's why I want to make it so important that the church understand that they're turning a blind eye to this deception. But that blind eye is dangerous because they're not giving the full benefit of teaching their children about this deception. You can turn a blind eye to it as a Christian and not talk about it and not accept it at all. Mm-hmm. But Hollywood's going to still keep giving their stuff and the researchers and everybody else's. They're not going to give up on your child. No. And in essence, you have by not helping them understand the truth. And I don't blame the church for this. I just don't think that they've come to the point to where they are willing, have yet had a willing to look at it honestly. And we have done that, you know, and we offer what we have freely to the church to be able to bring them up to what this is about, you know, and that's what our mission is to be able to freely give this to them to help them understand. Mm-hmm. We just have to get them to, in the very beginning, you know, just say, this is why you need to see this. And if we can get them past that, mm-hmm. then I believe we really have something that's powerful as a tool they can use to be able to help fight this war. And then we will be bringing a bond, you know, we'll be bringing a force into this that is going to make it real tough to try and pull one over on us with this disclosure idea.
Well, you know, it does say in the Bible as well, it is scriptural. I can't remember the exact quote, but it says something like, you know, we're not dealing with an earthly power. We're dealing with spiritual authorities in high places. And, you know, we're told in the Bible that this is a spiritual warfare that's going on, you know.
Yep.
So it's right there in the Bible. So if the people are claiming to be following the Bible, then we can't turn a blind eye to what it says. And it's clear that Jesus' ministry, about 25% of his time was casting out demons and things like
sure.
that. So, you know, this is, we can't pretend that, you know, I mean, I guess some people might think that because Jesus' work was they finished in their eyes, that all these the evil forces were, you know, I don't know, taken away from the earth. But it doesn't say that in the Bible. So, yeah, you're right. They should be able to look at it even from the scriptural alone. It says that's what's going on.
Sure. That's Ephesians 6:12, by the way.
Ephesians 6:12.
That's the scripture that I was given in the very beginning as a new believer to what this is about. This is a spiritual war. It tells us, for we wrestle not, that word is not, against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
So these aren't physical beings, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm. This, and it tells you there, right there, that there's a hierarchy of these beings.
Mm-hmm.
So, they, you know, there's a whole minion here of a force that's doing everything they can to deceive.
Mm-hmm. The other thing you mentioned, Hollywood, I'm not going to keep you much longer, Joe. I realize I've kept you a long time. I watched a film recently. I don't know if you've seen this film. It was called Paul. Is it over in America?
I haven't seen it yet. I know it's a comedy.
It's a comedy, and yeah. It's funny because now I don't watch many films, but I thought I'd watch this because I just started researching this stuff. And in this film, they have this little alien guy, you know, like a little grey, and it's in set in Roswell, and there's two comedians, can't remember their names. But in the film, what they do is they bump into this girl, and she's a Christian girl, and her whole family, her dad, they're all made out to be really, you know, dumb, because they're fundamentalists and they believe that the aliens are kind of demons and things like that. And they have, throughout the film, they have this little alien guy, like Healer Dead Bird and Healer Eye. And, you know, they give the traits of Jesus to the alien. Yeah.
There's your evangelizing of a different gospel.
And the way they I mean, it's like they make a big joke about, you know, these Christians are stupid because they don't believe in Darwin and they don't believe in millions of years and all this sort of stuff. And it's right there in the film. And it's, you know, it's so obvious when you look at it that they're trying to program people. They're trying to get people to believe and make it so that it's people's initial reactions to hear.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a kind of laugh. They're going to laugh at people who believe in the creation story or people who don't believe that aliens are real, or, you know. And so I feel as if they're programming the masses so that they have an initial reaction to certain things. And it's right there in the films.
We're seeing that in film after film. You know, The Fourth Kind that came out a couple of years ago was just that way too. You know, that was a mastermind of marketing.
Mm.
You know, and because that one, did you get a chance to see The Fourth Kind?
I haven't seen The Fourth Kind, no.
That's an amazing piece of work.
Right.
And it's got Mila Jovovich in it. And if you get a chance to see that one, they really did a job on getting that one as a piece of deception out to us. People were so furious when they found out that they were lied to, because they were told that these events were based on real things, that whenever you ask somebody, did you see The Fourth Kind, and they automatically get angry at you and go, oh, that movie was a fake. So what they did was stuck the truth in your face and then snatched it away by getting you to believe, you know, getting you to find out that there was part of it that was falsehood.
So was that film about the aliens actually being demonic in nature?
It brings the idea up. Yes, they do bring the idea up. But then, like I said, they stuck to truth and stick it in your face. And then they snatch it away by making you realize the movie was a trick. So you don't believe any of the truth that they gave you.
Yeah, I know. It's very
so
fun.
It's an interesting piece of work. The most powerful piece in the whole movie, but because you don't accept the movie as being real now, you automatically discard it. But the biggest piece of powerful message that was in that movie was the Dr. Tyler in the end, when she's being interviewed, she makes this comment. She says, they can seem like God, but they're not. That is a powerful statement.
Very powerful, yeah.
And that is absolute truth. But they stuck it in your face, and then they made you not believe it. That is powerful marketing.
And I think, see, when I think about the making Hollywood films and whatnot, it becomes quite difficult to imagine how they could, what process they go through to make a film to do that. And because I think some of the people involved are going to be oblivious, you know, they're not going to be, they're just doing what they're told. They're just performing a piece. They're just interested in, are they getting paid or not? And is it going to be successful? But I believe that there are some people in powerful positions of authority and ability and influence that have a very, some of them I think will actually realize who they're serving, you know. I don't know if many people talk about this, but from my research and studying some of the people that were involved in Satanism and things like that, they said that some of the people involved were very, very powerful, very clever, very smart people.
Sure.
Doctors, you know, surgeons, actors, you name it. So there is some people involved in this who have got some clear picture of what they're doing, even though they've been deceived, yeah, because they're like us. They're just children of God as well. But they've been deceived into believing that this is a good way of living life, you know, to receive the wealth and power in this world and, you know, sacrifice it for eternity. But, you know, some of the people involved in making these films, I think, must have some degree of knowledge or information. You know, it can't just be coincidence that they just happen to, let's make a film about this or that. There's some force that is putting pressure on certain films to be made in a certain way.
Yes, to be able to promote the agenda. Absolutely. I have no doubt that that's what's going on. It's all part of this cosmic war. And that's what I believe this actually is. And the talk I did last year in Roswell that I have up on my website, you can watch, is Casualties of a Cosmic War. That is what I titled it, Unholy Communion, Casualties of a Cosmic War. And that's what these people are, these testimonies are. They're casualties from this cosmic war because they did not know what they were involved with. But now they are no longer casualties. These are victors from this war.
Sure.
Because they've come to the truth. And we don't want any more casualties. And that's what we're trying to do here, is get this information out. We not only help those that have become casualties to become victorious and get their lives back, but we also want to prevent any more casualties, people becoming casualties of this deception.
Well, Joe, it's been great speaking to you. And I think your website's great, and I'd totally advise anyone to go. It's www.ce4research.com. Is that what you type?
That's correct.
And that'll take you to a site. And if you go on that, you can click on, there's testimonies. There's a testimony section, written testimonies, audio testimonies. And you said there's some videos there as well. Yeah. So there's tons there. I mean, there's I think there's more information than anyone's going to really need to kind of.
There's a great question and answer page on there too, you
Yeah.
know, they can go to and look at, and we try to answer as many of the questions that people are asking ahead of time. But any of your listeners that are listening to this, if they have a question in particular that we don't have an answer to on our frequently asked question page, shoot an email, and the contact email is on the website, and shoot us your question. We'd love to be able to answer all of the questions that people have. And we tried to build the website in advance, looking at questions we dealt with over the years. But, you know, every once in a while, somebody will throw us a new one that we haven't dealt with. And I'd love to get that answered because that might be a question that somebody else has too. And we're trying to get it to the website to be with enough information on there to, you know, they have no excuse after going through this stuff and realizing that there's something not right, you know, with what they've believed. And that's the way we've built the site, and we hope that we can get as much answers on there as possible. And I got to tell you, this the show that you've done a great job here. I would be honored to do this again with you anytime. And maybe you might want to consider we bring on one of the testimonies and let people hear the testimonies themselves. You know, these people are real. You know, these aren't fabricated testimonies and shows that are up there on the website. And you want to do this again sometime, I can bring on, you know, Joyce would love to come on, or anybody else that I have. And you know, let the people hear the people themselves. You know, let them realize that this is true evidence. These people do exist. They have been through this, and they can testify themselves.
Well, Joe, I would love to do that. I mean, this is my first interview that I've ever done, to be honest with you. So, I'm not sure about how I'd go about getting three people, but I'm sure I could work it out. And we could do that, and we could put that together. And as I
Yeah,
said,
it's easy to do on Skype. You know,
yeah,
Skype, you
it's
have the ability to bring on up to 20 some people, I believe, as in
great.
a conference call. So, and I've done it many times before, so it works great, and it's as clear as what we're talking right now.
Okay, Joel, that's great. To me, that sounds a great idea, and I'd love to do that. And I'll send you the audio as
Okay.
soon as I get it. And I'm also going to make this into a little video and put some images and stuff like that. Because I think, from my perspective, and that's all I've got to go on, is that the easier, the more accessible this information is for people, you know, the better. We're in a kind of information battle in a way. And so I'll try and create something with the audio that I've got that can people can you know find it easier to access. But yeah.
Very good. I'd love to share that, you know, once you get it put together. And I think a lot of people will love this show. I think it came out really good. The format that you've done here and the questions you've had have been right on.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, well I'll let you go get back. It must be what time is it now over there? 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll let you go now, Joe. Thanks very much for doing that. It was an honor to talk to you.
All right, thank you,
God
and God
bless.
bless.
Yep, take care, mate. Bye bye.
All right, bye-bye.